This episode of Norm Nathan's Vault of Silliness is jam-packed with a variety of subjects, calls, stories, and quick clips. After listening a few times and taking lengthy notes, I've settled on the following title: Radio Talk About Radio. The dates are a bit scattered. August 1st, 7th, 13th, and 14th from 1994. And then March 3rd and April 4th, 1995. But don't quote me on that. Three producers covered this one with Adam Wolf, and at one point, Norm refers to him as Adam Clayton Wolf. Adam Clayton being the bass player for the band U2. That one will remain a mystery. Brian McKinley, and later, Mike Epstein. If I give you all the details, this show open would be a podcast in itself, so I will do my best to give you a semi-brief summation. The callers with names: Ruth Clennett, Rick, two great calls from Chauncey, Glenn from Brighton with erroneous info and a bad Amish joke, Bob with some radio memories, Dorothy from Haskell, New Jersey, Mike with more radio memories, and Norm gives broadcasting advice, a fired up Fred, Paul from Malden discussing Norm's many talents, the excited Kristen in Dorchester, Dora and Norm talk about town government, Pat from Riverdale, Georgia, and her draining sinuses, and John in New Hampshire, who used to work for the old Boston Post. Then there's a handful of callers where we don't hear their name mentioned, who add even more fun to this extravaganza. We have guest stars: Tom Cuddy, Ed Mullen, Rick Cassiotis, and Daryl Gould, plus three Jack Hart traffic reports with work crews aplenty. Norm talks about having to do some stand-up comedy at an upcoming benefit being held at the Comedy Connection. He then lists the dazzling array of other performers that will join him. We get some unabashed commentary from Norm on when he met Abby Hoffman. To make a long story short,
too late!
I'll wrap it up with the commercials that are included. STP Fuel Injector Cleaner, a very dry WBZ Sports Saturday promo touting its debut, IDS Financial Services, and a very funny commercial for Boston Gas. Okay, on with the show.
I really don't know about that.
Now, wait a minute, but I was actually going to talk to you a little bit about Michael Feinstein, and you already did, and then I was going to say I was sorry that I didn't give you a report on Maureen McGovern and Mel Torme, but I knew you were there, so you gave the report because I heard you, but I wasn't able to go at the last minute, so I missed it. But you gave a good report.
Yeah.
Well, except you didn't love Maureen McGovern.
Well, I thought she's a mechanical kind of singer who's kind of like white bread. There's no soul there at all, you know, and she's, it's like watching a Las Vegas nightclub act, which is all right, but
yeah.
I like a singer that gets to your guts, that makes you want to cry and laugh.
But
and
wasn't
get goose
the place
pimply.
Beautiful? But didn't it look great when it got dark?
It is a lovely place. I saw Rosemary Clooney there, as a matter of fact, about a week later, too.
I listen. Even though I haven't called you lately, I listen.
Okay. See, I always assume nobody listens to anything, so I repeat myself a whole lot.
Everything you say at every moment. Actually, I hope I feel good because I am supposed to go see Natalie Cole Tuesday night. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, she's going to be at Harbor Lights to this coming Tuesday.
We have some tickets to give away to the Elton John thing. What is the date on that is?
I don't know
what that date is.
I have his new tape.
It's the week after next. We'll talk about that.
Here's a new tape called Duets, like Frank Sinatra's Duets, with a whole bunch of singers on it. That's the first time I ever bought an Elton John tape. It's pretty good.
August 16th is it, when he's coming, August 16th.
Oh, good.
Carrier Pigeon just came in with the
different thing. Tony the Carrier Pigeon?
Yeah. No, it was Adam the Carrier Pigeon.
Oh, Adam is there, too.
Adam is there.
Two producers.
Well, we got a ton of producers today.
My goodness. Yeah. Well, did you get my little love note about the WBZ farm stand?
I did, yes.
That's good. You're going to be there, I hope.
Yeah, we'll stick around. That's
September 17th at the Shriners. And I've sent out most of the letters. We're a little behind time because the label man hasn't been feeling too well. But most of the letters are out. We have a lot of stuff came in today. We're going to have the petting zoo again. Are you going to be in the petting zoo, honey?
Are you Are you patronizing me, ma'am?
No, sweetheart.
That's right. Brian's birthday is this coming day, Sunday, August 7th. He will be 29.
29?
Now, are they either one of them anywhere in your age category?
I'll tell you, I'm 40, and I'll tell you what's happened over the past few years. I have a 14-and-a-half-year-old son, and when I look at guys who are anywhere under about 45, it's almost incestuous. I mean, I can't. If I look at a 29-year-old, it just isn't right anymore.
I know you feel guilty about that. I understand. Even though they're fully formed men.
Yes, I guess I'm shifting into a different phase of things, you know?
Okay.
I need a little bit of gray and 7 figures in the bank, you know, things like that.
Okay. Some older person, gray hair, and with money.
Exactly.
Okay. We'll see what we can do for you.
Yeah, it's by a minister called Harold Camping. And he's predicting that the end of the world is coming in September.
Well, why would that frighten you? You think that will really come about?
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, it's like he really get into the Bible and he started talking about, I don't want to get too heavy because I know you're not a heavy show. But he started talking about how throughout the whole Old Testament and the New Testament and everything, all these predictions were made, and the years and the dates were all accurate right in the Bible. And so the Bible says that you should be aware of the signs that are coming that for the second coming of the Lord. And it's all predicted in there. And after I read this book, I started thinking about it.
Yeah, you know, actually, because I am an interpreter of the Bible myself. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I'm a lay preacher myself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have my own church, the Church of the Living Talk Host or something like that. I forget. I haven't given it a real name. Now, when I interpret it differently, I find that what the Bible says is that starting in October, business will improve greatly for you and you'll get all the women you want. That's really what it says. This guy interpreted it wrong. And I find that a lot with a lot of people who are in my business.
And so, and then also that you're going to get the full-time night slot on BC.
I don't know if that happens soon before I leave this earth.
And the man was just prattling on and on and on down, you know, really doing Hillary bashing. And my feeling is if you want to talk politics, that's okay, but at least speak the truth. And then when I called up with some of the facts concerning the incident, I sort of waited and I waited and I waited and I never got put on, and I was sort of holding the Sunday paper in my hand, which had the real facts, and this guy that was going on, and now I'm getting heavy on you, but I know he's a colleague of yours, but I kind of feel that when the person is sort of voicing the politics that he would like, he lets the caller be a little casual with the truth, but if the caller is voicing politics that he doesn't like, then he likes to be really a stickler if the person makes a slight exaggeration.
No, that's true, but isn't that true of all of us talk people? We are so prejudiced that we all do that. If somebody calls and says something to me, and I plead guilty to the same thing, if somebody calls to me and says things that I agree with, I'm apt to be more tolerant with them and keep them on longer than if they say something that I think is really stupid. Stupid meaning opposing to my own basic political philosophy. But we're all kind of prejudiced that way in a sense. So I can't really fault David for that because I do the same thing. Although my philosophies are much more intelligent and humane than his are.
Yes,
see.
And you're willing to admit it.
I'm willing to say that. He won't admit that himself, though. He won't say that he's so partisan that he can't see the truth. I'm willing to say that.
I see.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. If he's listening now, he's probably wetting his pants or something. I don't know whether libertarians wet their pants. They may not, though. I'm not really sure about that. That may be beneath them. It's the only left-wing, bleeding-heart, liberal do-gooders. They're the only ones who wet their pants. We libertarians, we don't do that. Okay, I think I've said quite enough, don't you? I think the management's going to come in a moment and shut the whole station down.
No.
Are you willing to follow that with any kind of stuttering comment, Rick?
I'm not sure in the sense that if I say anything, then we'll go on with the serious stuff, and I know you like to keep it light at night, so I'm trying to veer the how does Lavelle say it, the ship of talk back into the area of goodwill and lots of laughter, and I'm trying to think of something to say, because to be honest with you, I just don't like David Cho any longer, in the sense I think at one time he used to have people. There's nothing more interesting than people of goodwill who disagree on ideas and who are willing to discuss it. But in my opinion, some of his callers are misanthropic, which is just a fancy way of saying hate mongers.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you admit to the fact that you too are a leftist leaning liberal bleeding heart do-gooder, eh? Just like me. Okay. I got to get going before I insult one of my compatriots any more than that. Because he's a gentleman. He doesn't come out and really attack me as strongly as you're attacking him. So I have to put an end to this thing.
I'm actually attacking his callers, too. Oh, the fact that he's not terribly fair in letting on opposing callers to other callers.
Big-time producers and stuff. The two guys who do an automobile show on public radio, Ray Magliozzi, is that right? Does that sound right?
I'm not for sure, because sometimes while I'm in the car on Saturday, I pick them up, but they are wonderful.
Yes, they are. Car Talk is the name of the program. And it's Ray Magliozzi or Ray Magliozzi.
Yeah.
Whatever. And he's their brother. And the two of them are the ones who do the show.
They are so good. They have a wonderful show. They gave a trip away to Boston, but I didn't win it.
Enjoy this joyous day of being 77. That's quite a number of years. Is it not?
It is a comfortable number of years, yes.
And so this is what we're looking for the next day. And, of course, as usual, it's such a joy to speak with you and with Tony.
Tell me about your wife now. Is she doing okay?
Coming along slowly and nicely.
Good.
But she's getting better. The hip is getting better. And she's striking out every day to try to keep moving, you see.
Mm.
And the surgeon and the other doctor both said, if you don't carry on and out and work on walking, you're going to be crippled. And, of course, she doesn't want that, you know.
Mm.
I wouldn't care much for that myself.
Mm.
Well, in any event, you're so good.
Well, I wish you well, and I wish you a very, very happy birthday,
Chauncey. It'll be a brother day, I hope, for all.
I hope it turns out well, and it'll be a nice day so far as weather is concerned. So will Sunday. Hope that makes you feel better.
And good night for you, sir.
And good night to you, Chauncey. Thanks a million.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
He was about talking about Simi Valley. I lived in California in 59 when I was 6 years old, but Simi Valley, without getting too heavy, was where the jury was on the Rodney King verdict. That was the stay from Simi Valley.
Mm.
It's a rich white Republican yuppie neighborhood. It's part of Beverly Hills. It's none too shabby. It's like Milton. It's a high-class neighborhood. The police are unlisted. I wanted to leave a joke with Jack.
It's a bad old Jack Benny joke, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted to leave a joke with Jack Hart, too. It's clean. What goes clip-clop, bang, clip-clop, bang, clip-clop, bang?
I don't remember. No, what's that?
An Amish drive-by shooting.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, well,
okay, yeah.
I wanted Jack to hear that.
Why did you want Jack to hear that?
Well, because it's the kind of thing, if I was on the birthday game, you know, I feel tough when he's around. And if he was on when I was on, I could tell it, because I have the same mind that he has. You were talking about carousels. And I was just curious. That was interesting. A woman called and had a guy laughing and played like a carousel. Now, I'm curious, is it a new computerized thing, or is it something you wind up, or was it something old she had, or a new version of something older?
No, she had a little miniature carousel. The laughter was separate. That wasn't with the carousel.
Oh.
Although she played that, too. But she was pointing out that at the amusement parks, in some of the rides and stuff, they'd have this sound effect of somebody just laughing hysterically. I don't know what the point of that was, but you'd just hear the laughter.
It's sounded like you laughing.
No, yeah, well, maybe. No, it was not me.
No, I know. But...
And plus the carousel itself was more like a music box kind of setup, although, I mean, it didn't sound like a music box. It sounded like a real carousel.
You crank it, wind it up like with a crank?
I don't recall how she did that. I don't know.
Yeah, it was interesting. Also on the... I forget what I was going to talk about now. On the birthday game.
Yes.
It sounded like a private party in the studio. There were no callers. Was that
no, there were no callers. Everybody was here.
It sounded
time.
Like a going-away party for Jack Hart.
No, it was not. No, Jack wasn't even here. Jack is at the Prudential Center, which is where his office is, way up on top of the building.
Yeah, but, I mean, it sounds like a direct line. It doesn't sound like a phone line.
No, no, it's a direct line. No, it's not on the phone. It's a regular studio kind of line.
Yeah, was that Brian Whittemore or another Brian?
No, this is another Brian.
Oh, and Kay sounded kind of cute. That was you had a bunch of women on. You had a Liz, a Lynn, and a Kay. And I guess, was that Adam Wolf?
That was Adam Wolf, yes. I feel like I'm holding a news conference. And you, sir, from the Lawrence Eagle Tribune, what is your question, sir?
All right, yeah, and one more quick thing. You got the name wrong. You made him sound Italian. He's to Tom and Ray. It's Moriarty. Quick and Clack, the Tappet Brothers from Good News Garage in Cambridge. It's fed out of BU. It's syndicated. It used to be local. It's Tom and Ray Moriarty. You said Magliozzi.
Yeah, well, I thought somebody had told me that was the name, so I got it wrong, eh?
All right, well, that's...
That's it, eh?
Yeah, I'll catch you later. It's always nice to talk to you.
Okay, Glenn, take care. Bye-bye. 17, and I was 18 when I first met him, and we worked at WMEX then, long before the kind of programming you're talking about. It was probably the worst-run radio station in the history of the world.
I heard a lot of stories about it.
Yeah, and Arnie was a technician. I'm talking 1944, 45, 46, that period, mid-40s.
Okay, I was born in 47. So.
Okay, so we met even before you were born, you young punk kid. And,
what happened to Dick Summer, who used to be on WBZ?
I've lost track of Dick. Dick, last I heard, was doing a show on a New York radio station, but I have not heard about him lately.
Because he brings me back the old days when he had the bigs, the Boston Icicle Growers Society.
You
can recall that. And then, of course, he had his theme song there, the one hen, two ducks, three squawking geese thing.
Well, you see, he was on, he did an all-night show the same time I was doing an all-night show at the other station.
Right.
I never got a chance to listen to him, but I know he was very popular. And I know when he went to New York and I started doing an all-night show here in Boston again, we sort of hooked up at one point with some quiz stuff, you know, where we have his listeners call in and my listeners, and we were sort of a kind of a two-station network.
Okay.
And that's the first time I'd really talked with him a whole lot. He's a nice man, and I don't know what's happened. I hope he's okay, and I hope he's successful.
Well, J.J. Jeffries, who used to be a personality on WRKO down there in Boston, owns a radio station up here in Lewiston, Maine now.
He owns about four or five, a few other stations as well. Yeah, he's doing very well.
He's done very well in the business.
Yeah, and so is Arnie Ginsberg. He owns a number of radio stations, too.
Yeah, I think there was an old station, WHIL, I think, at the time.
That's right.
Yeah, it was over in Medford area.
Yes, it was, yes.
And, of course, you used to go to the Adventure Car Hop and the Arnie Ginsberger, and if you say Arnie sent it, they serve it on a platter, a 45 RPM record.
I know it.
I just want to let you know that a lot of times I'm traveling around this time of night because I travel all over New England to races, and usually we get out of the races anywhere from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning, so... Oftentimes I'm traveling and I pick you up on BZ. I just want to let you know.
Well, I appreciate
it. I'm a lifelong listener due to my dad. And one more question. Do you ever play your old theme song, the old Sounds of the Night theme song?
I have not done that. I should play a little bit of it.
I would love to hear that tonight. I'm still about an hour from home. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have it with me. I have that at home. So
okay.
I can't. Yeah, so I couldn't play it now.
Well, I listen to you right up into my driveway in Gardner, Maine, which is from the bridge, the Portsmouth Maine Bridge there. It's about an hour and a half, 100 miles. So you're carrying right up into
that's great.
Area.
Let me ask you one thing before you go, Bob. Now, what is it? What are these races you're talking about?
It's NASCAR Busch North Series racing.
Are you a racer yourself?
No, I do motorsports marketing. And up until last Friday, I actually worked for NASCAR, and I just resigned the NASCAR account because I have four accounts. I deal with the Penrose Sausage people, who the Bush North rookie program, and then I have three drivers that I work with. I deal with their sponsors and, you know, doing public relations and publicity and media work and what have you, marketing work.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're all over the place.
Well, pretty much throughout the Northeast, throughout New England. We go out as far as Buffalo, New York. We go down to Pittsburgh area, and that's about our market area, Portland to Buffalo to Pittsburgh.
I love talking with you, Bob, and I appreciate hearing from you. My best to you. Is your dad still alive? Is
No, my dad passed away back in 77, but all we had earlier talking about the 8th Air Force reunion, my dad was in the 8th Air Force, and he was on the ploy at the oil field raids, and he was shot down, and he spent 19 months of his life in Salt Lake, 17.
Oh, my.
A whole 9 yards, you know. So he passed away back in 77, though, at a very young age, 57 years old.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, I'm pleased to talk with you. Thanks a million for calling. I appreciate
it. Like I say, lifelong listener, and it's great to still hear you.
I appreciate that a lot. Thanks,
Hang
Bob.
In there, Norm.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Dorothy in New Jersey. Hey, Dorothy.
Hi, Norman.
Hello, Dorothy.
We have an identity problem.
How's that?
Because last night I was listening to your show, and suddenly you said, hello, Dorothy from New Jersey, and it wasn't me.
Oh, we had another Dorothy from New Jersey.
We now have two Dorothy from New Jersey.
Now, isn't that a coincidence? I bet there's not another country, another station in the country,
probably,
outside of one in New Jersey, that would have two Dorothys from New Jersey. I'm already starting to talk pretty stupid. How are you doing?
Fine. Well, we'll have to do, I suppose. I know you did ask her what city she was from, but she never did answer you. But I'm the one from Haskell.
Oh, you're from Haskell, New Jersey. Oh, well, that's the nice part.
Yeah.
She's probably from the awful part, whatever part that is.
I don't know. I did want to talk to you about you're finding a nice lady who you're attracted to and still is not...
Did I say that on the air?
Well, you didn't actually say it, but you hinted it.
Okay, because people have been talking with me since for the past 2 days about dating and all of that kind of stuff, and I always thought that's kind of personal, and yet I must have brought it up.
Yes.
Oh, shame on me.
Well, you shouldn't let politics interfere, because...
Oh, I see. That's how you picked it up. I see.
My mother was a staunch Republican, and my father was a staunch Democrat.
And they still got along and didn't scratch each other's eyes out.
No, they never bothered them. Of course, they canceled out each other's votes.
Well, that's not too bad. You can live with that.
Yes.
Well, isn't that kind of funny? What about now? Are you married?
No, I'm a widow.
Oh, I see. Now, was your husband of the same political persuasion as you?
Yes, he was. Thank you.
Okay, so you didn't have that problem.
I didn't have that problem.
Okay, but did your folks get along despite the fact they were of different parties?
Yes. Never interfered with your relationship. None at all. No.
And did they care about politics a lot?
Oh, yes, they were. They were very involved in politics.
Okay, because I am too, and I wondered if you are, whether that's a good arrangement. I thought that's pretty stupid to bring in. If the woman I'm talking about is listening, she probably thinks I'm kind of a... nerd. Yeah, nerd. I said nymph. It's kind of that's a cross between a nerd and a wimp. So what kind of a guy am I dealing with? Boy, next time he calls, I won't be home. Okay.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that, Norm.
I appreciate that, and that's great encouragement. I plan to move forth then.
Good.
Hey, thanks a lot for calling, Dorothy.
Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Of course, now she's a widower, so hey, how far can Haskell, New Jersey be from here?
That you hold it gently by the tips of its wings.
That's right. Oh, he remembers too much. The WBZ hit squad will have to come out and get a hold of that guy. That's true. That was one of, you know, Lefty Sprague was a character who talked like this. I patterned him after Arthur Godfrey, who nobody remembers anymore. I said, certainly not young people are not aware of him. And he was kind of one of these really dumb sportscasters who was always at the wrong place at the wrong time. And even when he got to the right place, he wasn't sure what was going on. But anyway, that was the character. I'm very pleased that he remembers that. That's, you're okay. You're going to go first. And I say stupid things all night. And then nobody says to me, Nathan, we don't need somebody acting like a stupid idiot hanging around all night doing stupid things. They're very nice. They just let me kind of ramble on like, I don't know. Maybe they never listen, or maybe they don't even know I work here. I don't know. But it's really kind of nice. I've worked at a lot of stations, and this is probably one of the most pleasurable experiences I've ever had in the whole business. So I wish you good luck. I hope things work out as well for you.
I do.
Are you a good-looking guy like me, too, with a body of well-tempered steel? Because that's terribly important in broadcasting. It's my well-profiled looks and everything, and that body that got me as far as I've gone, which is a part-time weekend announcer. Well, I don't know, maybe it hasn't gotten me too far at that.
I don't think I could have imagined.
Yeah, because I think just I won't hold you up with a whole big, long lecture, but I think the best way to get into broadcasting, radio or television, really is to learn as much as you can about a whole lot of things. Did I go through this with you, Vince, before?
No, but he did.
Did I do that? Because I tend, you know, as you get older, you tend to repeat the same thing. But I very much believe in that. And the idea of learning how to sit in front of a microphone and do all the other stuff, that's always fun, too. But if you sit in front of a microphone or in front of a camera and you have nothing much to say because you don't have much upstairs, that, you know, that isn't much either. But so, you know, the more you know, the better off you are. So I hope you read off the air and you go into a studio. this happens a lot because I go into a studio a lot. Not so much here because we don't have disc jockeys and stuff. But at stations I've worked at through these, you go in and the guy's on the air, see, and he says, hi, Norma. How you doing? Everything okay? Hold on just a minute. Now, just 1 second. The record's coming to an end. I got to give a time check. Hold on. The time is now 70 minutes before 1 o'clock. Let's keep swinging, baby. Okay, I'm all set now for another few minutes. Now, I got the next. Well, I played 3 records in a row, and I'm all ready.
I work with a guy that had a solution for everything. I mean, he had bottles of stuff there. He used to spray his throat. And he used to, hey, 30 minutes after 9 o'clock. Then he'd get off the radio and have this little wimpy voice like I said before. But you were talking about Dick Summer, weren't you?
Yes.
Okay, last I heard of Dick Summer, he was doing these commercials. And I hear him on the radio doing a commercial every so often. I don't know about him having a show unless he has a syndicated show. Because the last station I think that he was on is now All Spots, as you guys call it.
I'm sorry, it's All what?
All Sports Radio.
Spots.
Yeah, you Spots were, Radio.
You were poking fun at us New Englanders.
No, I wasn't. Some of my best friends are from New England. I sent him a $20 check every week.
I don't know. What does that mean? You sent him a $20 check every week.
Well, that's where they're my friends. I pay them.
Oh, I see.
But, no, the last I heard of Dick Summer, he was doing, he still does a lot of New York commercials for banks, and you know, sometimes he does a funny commercial, but I remember him coming over here, and he used to have this light hello thing he used to do. Everybody used to flick their lights and say hello to each other on the highway or whatever. And he was always reading poetry and stuff like that.
That's right. He wrote a lot of poetry, and didn't he sell jewelry or some kind of
something
like that.
But he used to read the seductive poetry, and the women used to get all hot for him, you know?
I know, but I remember that.
Real soft voice, you know?
Yeah, with music. Yeah, music in the background, yeah. All that kind of stuff.
You remember Gene Shepherd?
Oh, I love Gene Shepherd. I've been a big fan of his for years.
I got a copy of his 4th of July story on cassette, which is priceless.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did from the limelight. And I just played it. It brought back a whole bunch of good memories this 4th.
He used to be, when I first heard him, when he was on WOR New York, on an all-night show, yeah, and he would tell these wild stories, and not wild stories, he'd just sit there and talk, and he would play these kind of crazy records every now and then, but mostly it was for Gene Shepherd's talk. He's sort of
a satirist, I guess.
Yeah, a satirist. In a sense, I don't know whether you could compare Garrison Keillor of Prairie Home Companion with him. But in a sense, they were both storytellers. I like Gene Shepherd because I thought he was pretty earthy.
Well, he is.
And I think Garrison Keillor does a good job, too. But there are very few people that do that. Get on the air and just talk and tell these stories. He would tell some great ones.
As a matter of fact, he read, remember the book In God We Trust?
All Others Pay Cash.
Yes, that's right. He read it into talking book. And yeah. I got a copy of that somewhere stuck in my library.
Well, that was, he wrote that book.
Yeah.
And he wrote one or two other things.
Red Ferrari in a Bedroom and Wanda Hickey's Golden Night of Dreams and Other Disasters.
Oh, you really are a fan of his.
American
yes,
Salute
yes.
Of George
yes.
Aid, you know.
And you know, the movie he did also was on A Christmas Story.
Yeah, that was funny.
Is that Darren McGavin who's in that? Or
I think so. And he had one about the vacation that he took to Lake Michigan.
I hadn't heard that one.
He did a whole PBS series. It was... I wish they'd bring some of those back because they were great. He's living down in Florida now, from what I understand.
Well, he went to television. He had he did kind of like travelogues for
yes.
PBS, and he said he'd never go back to radio. And I thought radio—that's what he does the best of all. Why would he not do radio?
See, when you get the TV bug and it bites you, then you know you throw away radio. But he used to do commercials too.
Oh yeah, as a matter of fact, I did one commercial where. The guy said, we hired you because we wanted Gene Shepherd to sound a voice. And it was really kind of funny being hired because when I do tell stories, sometimes people say it's a little Gene Shepherd-like. I don't do it as well as he does. But to be kind of put in that category is kind of nice. I always thought the guy was a genius. He did a thing here. He was the featured speaker at some doctor's convention or some hospital thing. I went there purposely because he was going to be the speaker. And I sat there and the doctors were falling asleep. And I thought, damn you, don't you know what you got here? This guy is something special. But they're kind of square and they're, you know, and he's just, and of course, Gene Shepherd has the knack of going on perhaps a little bit longer than he should when he's talking before a live audience. So
right. Part
of it was his fault, too. But anyway, I thought he was something special.
Well, listen, I tell you what, it's been great talking to you.
You're getting rid of me now. You're brushing
me off. No, I'm not going to let you keep yourself from other callers.
Okay.
But it's been great talking to you. I just wanted to fill you in on Dick Summer and to just say hello again. I'm the second-time caller.
Hey, I hope you'll be a third-time caller.
Well, I will. Next time I can drop a quarter, you'll hear from me.
Thanks a million, Mike.
Take care, sir.
Take care, Mike.
Good night.
Still some work crews to contend with. This report brought to you by STP Fuel. We've got some work crews out on 495 northbound by Route 20 in Marlboro ongoing till about 5 a.m. Also some crews 128 northbound and southbound in Waltham between Route 20 and Trapello Road. We've got work crews on the Mass Pike heading eastbound between the Prudential Tunnel and the expressway off ramps. More work crews southbound on the expressway and northbound just by the Andrew Square area. And the Sumner Tunnel shut down till 5:30. Two-way traffic in the Callahan, your alternate route. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network.
If your car has been running funny lately, it's no joke, but it could be dirty fuel injectors. Clean them up fast with STP Super Concentrated Fuel Injector Cleaner. STP, drive a better car.
Now we continue to deal with a heap of work crews. We've got some work crews out on Route 2 westbound in Concord. We've got work crews 495 north by 110 in Chelmsford. More work crews 495 northbound by Route 20 in Marlboro. Work crews 128 northbound and southbound Waltham to Lexington, a fair stretch of roadway. We've got some work crews on the Mass Pike heading eastbound from the Prudential Tunnel right down to the expressway. On the expressway itself, northbound and southbound just around Andrew Square, we've got work crews. We've got work crews on the Sumner Tunnel. That structure shut to 5:30. Two-way traffic in the Callahan Tunnel is your alternate route. O'Brien Highway at Land Boulevard on the Cambridge side of the river. More work crews there. 93 southbound on the lower deck. Work crews working in the carpool lane. And Route 3 southbound by Route 18 in Weymouth. More work crews. Dealing with some work crews on area roadways, this report brought to you by Studio One Kitchens. We've got work crews on the ramp from Route 95 northbound to 128 northbound in the Canton area all night long. More work crews 128 northbound and southbound itself, Waltham to Lexington. We've got some work crews 495 northbound by Route 20 in the Marlboro area. Traveling on route on the Mass Pike heading eastbound from the Prudential Tunnel right down to the expressway, we've got work crews causing some delays. More work crews on the Route 93 southbound as you approach the lower deck. Expressway northbound and southbound right around the Andrew Square area. We've got some work crews and the Sumner Tunnel shut down till 5:30. Two-way traffic in the Callahan, your alternate route. Well, we are dealing with work crews on area roadways. We've got some work crews on the ramp from Route 95 northbound to 128 northbound in the Canton area to watch out for. More work crews on 128 itself northbound and southbound. Waltham to Lexington, fair stretch, and apparently somewhat of a convoluted lane structure as a result of the work.
Whose side are you on, the owners or the players? I'm on the fans' side. I wish they'd drop their damn greediness and cut the price of the tickets and cut the salaries and cut the profit.
Hey, Fred, what an original new thought. I'm sorry that I didn't mean to put you down with. I guess I did mean to, or I wouldn't have said it. I'm well versed in Richard Strauss' tone poem, Till Eulen Spiegel's Merry Pranks. I'll play that for you.
If you get really desperate, you could always go into some of your impersonations of Jack Benny and Arthur Godfrey.
That's right. I could play the violin. I could do Jack Benny. And I could keep you entertained probably better than their entertainers. I'd like to play for you now Ravel's, Bolero. See, I could do that, then I could play.
Yeah, then you could go into She's Too Fat for Me by Arthur Godfrey.
I could do that, yeah. Oh, she's too fat. Fat. Oh, she's too fat. I could do that, yeah. I think I'm going to call up the folks up there. Maybe.
You might get a call tomorrow. Somebody might be listening.
Yeah, they may want to hire me for some kind of a gig like that.
That's right.
I was mentioning earlier, I want to mention it again because I'd love the nice turnout there so people can see what a fool I'm going to make of myself, but there's a benefit on September 12th at the Comedy Connection at Faneuil Hall, mm-hmm. Where a number of us are going to do comedy.
Wow.
Yeah, for a place called Life House, LIFFE.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of the media. I'll get the list as we get a little closer.
Is Jeff King going to be there?
No, he will not be there.
You should be a big hit there.
I don't know about that. I'm scared to death. I've never done stand-up comedy. I've spoken before groups live and all, but to do it in a club, I don't know. But I thought, what's the fun? If you're going to feel like you're alive, you have to feel fear and exhilaration. And, you can't go through life just taking the easy way out. So I like to do really difficult things every now and then, things that really scare the hell out of me. And this is one of them.
Have you been in your canoe lately, speaking of...
Speaking of defying death at every turn, no, I have not. That's not a bad idea. I don't know if I'll have time the next week, but I better do it very, very soon. My daughter gave me the canoe, and mostly...
Her friends have
been in it. I have not been in it once yet. I've only had it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's out there and ready to be used. One day I'll take it out there. I'll take my ukulele and perhaps sing songs
Do your Godfrey impersonation.
That's right, and you can bring your mother. She'd sit at the other end of the canoe with her big hat, and I'll sing him.
And maybe you can get the woman that calls you that you kind of... give her the business there. Is it from Addie?
Oh, Addie.
Yeah,
my friend.
You're the other end of the canoe.
Oh, yeah, my friend from Everett. That's right. Yeah. Addie is there, yeah.
Yeah.
She could be there.
Yeah. You were mentioning Dawson Beer earlier.
Did I tell you the date of that big comedy thing? I must finish that.
Yeah.
September 12th. It's on a Monday night from 7 to 9:30.
Okay.
And again, I'll tell you later on. I think Bruce Schwegler is the only other name I can think of, and I know there are going to be a lot of others.
Is quite humorous.
Do you think he'll stand up there and do a whole shtick on weather? Funny thing happened to this high front on the way from Casper, Wyoming, to Methuen, Massachusetts, and I must tell you about it, kids. Bob Lovell, I know, said he does not want to do it. There are a lot of chicken people in this business who are too afraid to stand up and make an ass of themselves. I, however, have no such qualms.
Yeah, you're just an all-out pro.
I'm just an all-out idiot. That's what I am.
But anyway, you were mentioning Dawson Beer earlier.
I was mentioning that, yeah.
Yeah, and have they gone out of business?
I don't think they've been in business for many, many years.
Well, because I can remember when maybe I was 12, 13 years old, they had advertisements on television during Red Sox games.
Yeah.
So I don't think they've been out of business that long.
Radio scene, so maybe I bumped into him.
He just knew you because of radio and TV, but he worked with Carl D'Souza.
Oh, really?
And he worked with Don Kent. And as a kid, I can remember listening to Dave Maynard on radio, in the afternoons when we get home from school. And
it's been
fun to listen to you at night and hear the advertisements about the Boston area. And we're going to be up there next week. We're going to be in Hingham for a couple of days, and then we're going to go down to the Cape.
You still have a family, a partner?
No, I don't. My parents moved down here about 4 years ago, and my dad died. It's coming up to a year now, but my mother and sister and I will be coming back, going back home.
Okay, so just to kind of visit the old place.
Yes.
Since I'm scared to death of canoes. Listen, what I called on the beer, the Dawsons, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you're right. Both beer and ale. It's made in New Bedford. And then there was another one down there, Smith Ale.
Sniff, S-N-I-F-F?
Smith.
Oh, so how do you spell that?
S-M-I-T-H.
Oh, Smith, you're saying Smith, and I'm translating into all kinds of funny names.
Yeah,
just plain Smith Ale.
Very potent. And you know, another one that didn't come out, Pickwick. Remember Pickwick Ale?
Yes, no, somebody had mentioned that and said it was put out by the Haffenreffer people.
Uh-huh.
And then later, Haffenreffer put its own name on, and right now there's Haffenreffer stock or so, first stock or something like that. Private stock, yeah. So somebody did and mentioned Carling's Black Label and Red Label and a whole bunch of names I'd forgotten about, and I hadn't realized they'd even gone out of business.
Dawson's went out about 30 to 35 years ago.
That's when I said,
Bedford,
that's
right.
When I said somebody called, said they thought it was much less than that, maybe 15 years ago. I haven't heard about it for a long time.
No, we're right.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, listen, we'll be listening to you all week.
I appreciate that very much, Mary. You're okay.
Okay.
Take care of yourself. Saturday night at 11, but tonight will be the Patriots, the Los Angeles Rams preseason game that begins. The game is at 10. The preseason, now the pregame stuff begins at 9. And so we'll be on, I don't know, somewhere around 1 o'clock in the morning. And don't forget Sunday night at 11, Bob Hernandez with his new game, Monikers, the nickname game. I don't know what I just said, but you can translate that any way you want. And we give away games that Bob Hernandez does anyway. We've given away a lot of his kind of stuff. And then all kinds of other things, too, including the dumb music quiz on Monday night. I will be with you throughout the week. On behalf of Adam Wolf and the lovely Marilyn Gorelnick and myself, the almost good-looking Norm Nathan Person, stay tuned now for the news. In the lobby waiting for autographs and things of that nature. Yeah, so I don't want to hold you up. But you're on a network with that thing.
Yes.
You think the network is still intact? Could I be on that network too? Could I please? Could I be please?
We could figure out something for you to do on the pregame show.
No, I mean this program now.
We're off now.
I know it's just
WBZ, 50,000 watts, clear channel, all over the world.
Oh, and I bless my lucky stars for that, too. I'm grateful for that. But the network that you were just on, how many stations is that?
I think there are 32 stations on the Patriots Radio Network.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Now, what are they doing now? Now, you're
because
gone, maybe, and they're not carrying us, so they're probably carrying some cuckamamie nothing kind of programs.
No, I'm sure it's good programming. You worked at Small Markets, right?
Yeah, sure.
So did I. All the programming was terrific, wasn't it?
No, I worked at a station, WMEX, back one of my first full-time jobs. Had to be the worst station that ever existed on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
No, it should be in the Guinness Book of World Records because nobody's ever going to top it. The station no longer exists, and rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
They would all, the country, the Western guys, the farthest west any guy ever came from, the Cowboy Star, was from Wellesley.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I lived in Chelsea, so that seemed kind of like a distance off. And then we had a hillbilly act from Chelsea. It was a guy he called himself Jim Nevada and his Rainbow Riders. It was the guy and the Rainbow Riders were his wife and his sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, they would watch these cowboy movies, you know, and then they would try to talk like them, only they would get the whole kind of dialogue kind of got mixed up with a New England accent.
That can be a problem.
Yeah. So, you know, it'd be like, what do you say, Padna? Want to go out yonder to the mm-hmm. Chuck Wagon water?
You convinced me. What do you have planned for the kids tonight?
Oh, tonight we're going to have a swell show. Hold on.
They're always swell.
Yeah, I guess they are because
now,
I try
let me
to,
tell you, though.
I
right now,
standards.
Norm is rustling the papers as if he's not prepared. But believe me, a man was in here, I believe, at 6 o'clock this evening. Beginning to prepare for the program you're about to hear. You're about to engage. In your case, in the case of your listeners, engage in.
Yeah, we use bigger words when we need to.
Only when they're unnecessary.
Yeah, that's right.
We were talking about that just a few minutes ago. Unnecessary
right.
Big words.
With some people and some other people that I've worked with who use bigger words when you could use smaller words.
Yes.
But this makes them feel better somehow or other. It clears out their sinuses also.
As opposed, for example, saying at that time as opposed to saying then.
Yeah, at this point in time, also is one
at
of the
at this point in time.
Now, where did you work? Where did you work before you worked at BZ? Did you work at a little station?
No, I worked at a radio station in Medford.
Was it in Medford, like WHIL, or was it KISS 108?
That's the one.
Okay, and you did sports there.
Yes, I did with Maddie.
Oh, so you've done sports totally. Haven't been a disc jockey or any of the other really swell stuff.
No, I was a newsman though. Although I did have to sit when I was working in Claremont, New Hampshire, my first job. I was a newsman, but I had to spin records in a window of a department store one day. What an awful experience that was. I swore I would never do it again.
Oh, I find that frightening.
Oh, I couldn't stand it. I much rather be in, you know, the BZ mobile van. So I'm a moving target, you know. That's frightening. And they do that to all these fellows in small markets and medium markets, and they stick them in windows of department stores and in furniture stores, and it's so, at times it's humiliating.
Well, we used to do that right here at BZ. What was the, what do they call that, the broadcast machine? What was that called?
But that's different.
Oh, the incredible broadcast me, but people can look in and see you.
Mm-hmm.
But one station I work for, WHDs, I don't mind mentioning other call letters.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a, it looked like a gypsy fortune-telling wagon or an ice cream wagon. It had a lot of glass space, you know. And I was doing a daytime comedy kind of program,
yeah,
where I do voices and stuff. Well, hello. Yes, and I act like a total, well, sort of like what I do now that I think of it, act like a total idiot. And then people would come and they put their noses up against the glass,
mm-hmm,
and stare at you while you're doing these inane things, and there's not an expression on their face. It's totally bland, and it's kind of scary in a way. You know, you want to just kind of draw the blinds and leave town.
I don't mind the van so much. That doesn't bother me. No, we do the pregame show, for example, the postgame show during the football season. Oops. Smooth operator at Foxborough Stadium. Now that's okay. That's all right. It's just sitting in the window of a department store that I found so, I don't want to say degrading, but I certainly found it a humbling experience.
There was one station in Boston, wasn't there? We used to broadcast out of Park Square.
Oh, sure, but that was sort of nifty to look at that, you know? They had a nice studio there.
Yeah, the regular studio was there in the window.
Yeah, yeah. George Collin worked at that radio station.
Yeah.
One time, George Collin,
was he there with that Burns?
I'm not sure. He lasted about a week. He was the one who said, if you want to be a successful disc jockey, just sound insincere. But he worked there. George Collin worked in that. And I saw him do a bit one day on radio, on television, about sitting in the window in the Park Square building.
He is a very, very funny man.
He is. He is.
And to get these accolades from us, two pros, probably would thrill him if he even knew we existed.
Nah, he wouldn't be impressed.
No. Hey, thank you.
We don't have ponytails like he does.
That's right, too.
Doesn't he have he has a show now, doesn't he? A TV show?
Yeah, he does. Is it Saturday night?
Is it on Fox?
Yeah, it's on the Fox Network. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's true. I haven't heard a whole lot about that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not doing so well. I don't know. Maybe it is. I really don't know.
I have cable TV. I didn't know where the Fox Network was on my cable until I saw the sports guy that I know doing sports the other day. I had a hard time finding it on my cable.
Well, it's hard. Sometimes cable companies also change the order of their stations so that they they make room for a new station or drop some station.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard to know where they are a lot of the time.
As you know, I live west of the city. So we had a wild thunder and lightning storm this morning. So all my clocks went out. And I still cannot reset my microwave clock. I'm terrible at these things. Absolutely hopeless.
I'm really surprised at that.
Oh, awful. Awful.
Well, and the VCR, you have, or I've never been able to set the VCR clock.
I don't worry about the VCR. That's broken. I don't even worry about that clock.
Yeah.
But I cannot set the clock in my microwave. I have no idea what I'm doing.
That's so. Your wife is very bright, though. I bet she could set it.
Maybe.
She doesn't care.
No.
She says, time, what does time mean? And she goes into a whole philosophical discourse, I'll bet you.
Mm-hmm.
Time, what is it? What is it but the imaginary setting up of time zones with the stuff with the thing?
See, if you ask someone, you know, ask them what time it is, they tell you how to build a watch. You don't want that kind of explanation.
No, you don't. You know what I'm going to do? Because I noticed when you went on doing your thing on the entire New England sports, the Patriots Network.
Patriots Radio Network.
Yeah, you gave phone numbers and you had people call you. And I think that is a splendid idea for the program.
I don't think it's been done before.
No, I don't think so.
Want to use my number?
Yeah. Well, I've
617, write this down.
617, is it?
617-254-1030.
1030? Does that have any special significance?
You got that right.
Okay.
Now, remember the last time you and I chatted like this? A guy called up and says, get those idiots off the air. So I expect that guy is still out there.
I don't even care to respond. I don't even remember anybody calling.
Oh, yes,
I think we're very interesting, yeah?
Oh, it was a terrible thing. We talked about the great man that night.
Okay, I don't feel like doing that again. Anyway, Tom Cuddy, you're my kind of guy, and you're a role model to millions of American school children.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm impressed.
So then with you here and with Adam Clayton Wolf in the control room, along with Brian, Brian McKinley.
Your show is in good hands, Norm.
It is in good hands. The only weak point is right here behind the microphone.
I don't think so. I think you underestimate your talents.
You're probably right.
I am.
Go through all that. They're a little air pocket, little tubes in your lungs. Mm-hmm. And when they get blocked up, as they do with when you have pneumonia or other things, when they get blocked up, you can't get the air through to your lungs, and it's very hard to breathe. And it just got to a point where it was, I just couldn't breathe at all. I ended up in the hospital for about a week while they kind of pumped out my lungs and stuff. And I thought, that's kind of crazy. There's no sense in going back to smoking. So I gave it up. Not because I had such great willpower, but because of the agony of that week, you know, and so I kind of was forced into it. But I haven't smoked since, and that was about 9 or 10 years ago.
Yeah. Hey, how are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. I just feel so swell, and I hope you do. You sound like you do, too.
Yes, I feel swell because you're on all week.
Oh, that's so nice.
For this week.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
I've been waiting for this week.
Oh, what a nice... That's such a nice thing to say, Kristen. You are such a nice thing for somebody's ego. I can't begin to tell you. Have you had a nice summer?
Yes, it's been okay. Very hot, though, right?
It has been very hot. Oh, it's been very hot. You're afraid of failure because the only way you'll never fail is to never try. That's kind of been a slogan of mine, kind of a theory of mine all the time. The only way you can succeed at anything really is taking a chance, and eventually, every now and then, you're bound to fail. But then again, kind of living on the edge and wondering whether you're going to fail or succeed, or doing something that scares you—that's the only thing that can produce the exhilaration that comes if you do succeed.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice. You can lead a bland life, never try to do anything ever, and so you'll never ever fail. But you never experience the kind of emotions and joys.
If we get it correct, you're gone. If we get it wrong,
I'm
lost now. I'm getting
confused. None of us understand what we're doing here.
All right, there's three rounds.
Okay.
If you
always happens.
The first round is this. We'll ask you a question. If you get it correct, you continue to the second round. Then you ask us a question. If we get it wrong, you continue to the third round. Well, we'll ask you the final question, and if you get it right, you win a certificate.
All of this, all
it's
that for a certificate.
It's too bad, though. We don't have time to play the game. Right? Okay. And the certificate is really nice because it's not even the original certificate on really good paper. It's a copy of it.
On recycled Xerox.
Do you have one here that we could...
Yeah, I think Ed has it.
I'm designing it at this moment.
Yeah. He's going to scribble it out in just a few moments.
I need some more crayons, but I'll be right...
How are we doing with Ken Newman, our traffic... Oh, he's not there. Okay, well, the heck with him. He probably doesn't know anything anyway. Otherwise, why would he be sitting there doing traffic at this time of the night?
Can we call the farm reporter?
Okay. Anyway, those of you who would like to play the game, here's the number to call. It could be like that. That's,
you know, reading.
Oh, yeah, the cupping the ear thing
exactly.
for an announcer would be good, yeah. Hello, I'm on the air. would you just pick a category, Rick? This is no time for stick with it. You're terribly busy.
I'll have to talk to you later on or something.
Okay, well, I figured I'd do my inevitable old rock and roll, and I have three answers here. Maybe I could give you the answers, and you could pick the questions.
Okay. We may change the rules next time around, but right at the moment, I believe my beautiful assistant, Ed Mullen, will have a question for you.
Wait, did he say old-time rock and roll?
Yes, because I don't know any new time stuff.
Okay, do you want to ask the question, Daryl?
A gentleman after my own heart, yes.
Okay, go
Everyone
ahead.
Everyone remembers Chuck Berry's first hit record, Maybelline, right?
Yes, I do.
What was his second hit record?
Oh...
I can see the plane crash.
I'm sure it wasn't Roll Over Beethoven.
Well, he says, I'm sure it wasn't Roll Over Beethoven. That is correct.
We still need your answer.
We still need an answer.
Gee, I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll hold that up, and anybody else wants to answer that question as their opening question may do that. I'm sorry, Rick, but you were right. You really did miss miserably.
Yeah,
you made a fool of yourself.
What else is doing?
Okay. So a singer and sings on Monday nights. For those of you who want to catch a rehearsal over at Angelica's, which is a very lovely restaurant. Rick is there. It's my restaurant, too. Yeah. I mean, I live there also. Anyway, but the band rehearses on Monday nights, and Rick sings with the band, which is... your main job is in what area?
No, I'm a sales manager with a semiconductor firm in Andover.
Okay, so all these other things are kind of fun hobbies of yours, in a sense, yeah. Although you do them very, very well. Rick sings very, very well. It's fun to listen to. And Ed Mullen, who has been a producer here at WBZ, is sitting in, and those are the members of our panel.
That's right.
Which is kind of impressive, isn't it? A couple of heavy hitters, though. Well, thank you very much. The lovely Marilyn Garrell, we like that. Plan for the rest of the night, except that in about an hour we'll be doing the dumb birthday game, which is fabled and legend and song, and we have stupid prizes for that too. this is one where we don't flaunt big prizes. Just the fact that you're listening and take part in these things is good enough for us. And thanks to all of those of you who called. The lines are still all jammed up for people who'd like to play this. But Ed Mullen, always a pleasure to have you.
No, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. Anytime, we'll do it anytime. We should do a remote from Nebraska. We'll give that guy a call back. And,
that's right, too. Okay. So we won't have to pay the toll. It'll be a local call. And Rick Cassiotis, thanks a lot for sitting in. I appreciate that very, very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll do this again. We do this periodically and kind of spring up on you with this kind of stuff. I've said that on the air before, and people who live in cities have no idea what a moderator does or town meeting, and so I've stopped bragging because I find most people live in cities, and they have no idea what that means. But you have open town meeting in Seekonk, I believe.
We used to until, I don't know, maybe 10 or more. We went to RTM.
What is that?
Representative.
Oh, representative.
So they have one person to represent an area.
That's right. You elect town meeting members.
But they have trouble getting RTMs, and then sometimes the Board of Selectmen and the unions don't listen to them anyway. So now I think they're thinking of getting either a town manager or possibly going. They're working on the town charter. So I think we all have to be a little bit alert now.
I would suggest, and you'll never hear any talk host saying this, because most talk hosts have no idea what town meetings are all about or town government. But I would suggest a town manager. I think they make a very, very big difference. They work full-time, and they know what they can do for you, and they're the authorities. And the part-time people like selectmen are very good, and they donate a lot of time, and I respect them a whole lot. But they need somebody else who's a professional, like a town administrator or a town moderator. Mm-hmm. So I'm suggesting it, Dora. We can talk. I come up with the news in about a minute, but I'd love to talk about this some more with you, and we'll probably bore the hell out of everybody who lives in a city and has no idea what we're talking about.
Well, I know I'll be calling you again soon.
I would hope so.
Bye-bye.
You were really kind of interesting.
Well, that's really very, very nice. Well, I'm glad you got a chance to go. Maybe we can get some more tickets to give away as we go. I'd love to get some tickets, like to the Sinatra thing, but he must be sold out already.
He's even going to show up.
Maybe he's too old to make it to Boston,
well,
I don't know.
Well, you know, I overheard one of the ladies at work there, and she said, you know, Sinatra's supposed to come if he shows up.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. If he's signed to be here, I'm sure he will be. But that whole Harbor Lights thing is quite lovely, isn't it? The setting is nice, and the...
Oh, have you been there?
Oh, yeah, I saw Rosemary Clooney a couple of weeks ago, and then that I saw Mel Torme, who was there with Maureen McGovern. Is kind of they didn't perform together, but they each had half of the program. And when Rosemary was there with not Rosemary. Rosemary Clooney with a big band, and it's a lovely setting. Yes, I've been there twice.
Oh, I think it is. You know, it's so picturesque on one side. You see the boats on the other side. You see airplanes going up. And
there's a nice breeze, even on a very hot night, and we've had some really hot ones. There's a breeze coming in from Boston Harbor that is so, so pleasant. It's a lovely spot. When you talk about watching a performer in a tent, somehow you think of kind of a circus tent kind of thing, but that tent is, I don't quite know how to describe it. It's
because
well beyond that.
It doesn't have the sides, you know what I mean? It's not like going into a tent, like a circus tent. It's all open in the way that it's, the architecture of it, where it It's just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is very attractive.
A great night. I hope they're going to do it again. This isn't just a one-time year thing, is it? I mean,
not that I'm aware of. I think it's been quite successful this year. I would hope that they would run it every year. Did you go with your husband?
Yes, I did.
Did you hold hands and get romantic and stuff?
Oh, we did, because, you know, it's our 30-30 anniversary, August 13th. Now, was that your birthday, August 13th?
Oh, no, it's not. No, my birthday's not till December.
Oh, December.
But your anniversary, August 13th, you were married 33 years.
33 years, right.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
And so we really enjoyed it. And then my daughter's taken me to see Barry Manilow in, what is it, Greatwood? I've never been there.
Oh, that's nice. That's
so
a good spot.
We're enjoy going into different shows in town.
We're very lucky. There are a whole lot of things going on throughout the whole area. Great Woods and the Harbor Lights and Tanglewood with the classical music out there in the western part of the state. All that. I mean, the summers are just fantastic. You can overdose on some of the stuff. There's so many things going on. Of mine, and we sat and talked, and the more he talked, the more I thought, this is a really cruddy, nothing kind of loudmouth person. I just did not like him. And the thing is, a lot of his ideals I do agree with. I really do agree with. So I'm not against him. I'm not a right-wing fascist, you know, who would be normally opposed to something that Abby Hoffman would be for. But I just found him a self-serving loudmouth, and I just did not like him at all. And the things he said, just, I found outrageous.
I've heard other people said he was sort of obnoxious, but
yeah,
like
so
I say, I grew up in the 70s,
yeah.
And he was a hero to me.
No, he was a hero to a lot of people. I agree with you. You know, he was going through Wall Street and causing havoc there and saying, you know, you bunch of Wall Street bums and stuff.
Yeah.
And in a way, I kind of am a rebel myself, and I can admire that. I really can admire that. I'm not a conservative. I am a liberal, and all that. But the way he went about it, I thought was, I couldn't stand him. That night, I was swearing at him, and he was there with his wife. He had a new young wife and a little baby.
Uh-huh.
I was there with my wife. The couple we were at, we was at their house. They were there. And in mixed company, I was using the kind of language against him I couldn't believe I was using. I'm generally a fairly tolerant, quiet kind of guy.
Right.
But there was something about him that made you want to hate him and yell at him and break his nose. And anyway, that's the Abby Hoffman that I knew. And maybe he did a whole lot of good. And maybe I'm not being very fair to him.
I think he sold a lot of young kids like me up the river. I mean, the world's just not as perfect as he... You know,
well,
he wanted it.
Yeah, I don't know whether he was doing things because he really wanted to make the world better, or he just was an arrogant little midget there who just wanted to strike back for his own personal ego. I don't know.
I think he could have made a lot of money in his life, but he you know, gave all his time to things he was very idealistic.
Well, maybe he was. Maybe he was. Maybe he was not. Maybe just a loudmouth who used the whole idealism of the 70s, a lot of which I agreed with.
Yeah.
I thought it was a lovely period. You know, I mean, let's bring peace to the world and love to all the different races and nationalities, and let's all get together. You can't disagree with any of that. I do believe that.
I guess I was going through my catcher in the rye period.
that's funny you should say that. You may have been right, and I may be wrong. I may be unduly harsh about the guy. He just struck me as a little loudmouth who I just absolutely could not stand. And a thing called comedians laugh for life, with the emphasis on the media part, because a lot of people in broadcasting will be there. And that the date, I just got a list of the people who are going to be there that day. I hope you will be there, because I like a lot of people, friends of mine, to be there to ease the whole situation while I make a total idiot of myself. But it's between 7 and 9 at night at that spot, and the date is September 12th. And the people who are going to be there, interesting lineup of people. Bruce Schwegler will be there. I mentioned that. Sarah Edwards, who I adore. I think she's such a beautiful, lovely lady. She's over at Channel 5. Marjorie Claprood, who's a very attractive lady, too. I might have an affair with both of them that night. If they're listening, they're probably throwing up out of sheer sickness. Gail Fee and Laura Raposa, who do the inside track in the Boston Herald. Harvey Leonard will be there. Also, the weather guy from Channel 7, who I respect a lot. He's a good guy. Shelby Scott. All these people are going to be doing stand-up comedy. A whole lot of other people as well. Josh Binswanger. Will he do stand-up comedy? Does he do comedy? He's with the Kid Company here on WBZ Radio and also on the Channel 4 New News. And let's see. Bunch of people like that. If you can make it might be kind of fun. Michelle Michaels. I don't think I know her. She's on Channel 7, too. It's a glamorous name. I got to look her up anyway. Bernie Spean, who... did I tell you Susan Warnick from Channel 5 will be there? Anyway, all these people will be doing a stand-up. So if you get a chance, it's to raise money for Lifehouse Incorporated, a nonprofit organization founded about 10 years ago by a group of citizens concerned about the problems of homeless people and, in fact, homeless families in the Boston-Dorchester area. And they offer full housing. That is, there are places that give you a meal and then turn you out in the morning or so, or a place to sleep, and then you have to leave during the day. But this is a 24-hour-a-day kind of house. All that kind of stuff. Anyway, so that's September. I'll tell you the date, September 12th, which is on a Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. If you can show up, I'd appreciate it. And you'll see me, my entire career, falling right into the toilet. Amateur actor, but my first was the day before I graduated high school. I was 18, so you can figure out how old I am now. Was May 24th, 1944. Was the first time I actually got paid to be on there, and I've been in since.
Oh my God!
Isn't that incredible? I mean, if you're a young person, that must seem like absolutely an eternity. It seems that way to me too.
Actually, I'm 38, and I was thinking to myself, I had gone back to 1944 when you had said 50 years, and I was wondering if had you ever had the opportunity at any time to ever interview Joe Louis or Max Baer. Those are two of my favorite fighters. And
mine too. No, I never did. In 44, and for the first 10 years that I was in the business, I did interview people. No, I never came across them. I'm trying to think. I interviewed people you probably never heard of.
In the fight business?
No, not in the fight business. Although, at that time, I did do boxing bouts. Blow by blow, but I was the color announcer with the guy who did the blow by blow, and they're mostly local fighters. I mentioned some the other night. The local fighters, not the national ones you're talking about. The guys like Red Priest and
right.
I did do a bout with one of the greatest middleweights. I think he was a middleweight. One of the greatest fighters I think I'd ever seen. And everybody has to agree he's one of the greatest, was Sugar Ray Robinson.
Oh, Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I met him, and I did he was in the latter part of his career, but even by this point. But he was an incredible boxer. I loved that. But most of the others were mostly local boxers. You know, is there anything we can do to help you? Can we come down to Atlanta there where you're broadcasting from and drive you into work or something, make things a little bit easier?
Oh, sure. I'd love that.
Maybe pick you up. You get through work, what, about 5 in the morning or 5:30?
About 5:30.
Maybe we could go to some lounge. We could have a little rum and Coke or something like that. That always eases the throat muscles a bit.
Well, sure. That would be lovely.
I'm glad you're feeling better. Anyway, that's true. Sometimes you do feel okay.
Yeah.
And does it take a lot of energy to get the words out of this kind of sore throat?
Well, a little bit, and it's really more my sinuses than anything, so they're draining. So it makes it a little tough to talk, but it's not as bad as it sounds. And to be honest with you, I really didn't want to take any more time off because I'm going on vacation next week. So so terrible. You take 2 or 3 days off the week before you go on vacation.
It's kind of funny. You talk about sinuses draining, and it sounds romantic. You have such a lovely voice. I've never fallen in love with somebody whose sinuses are draining right before my very ears. Where are you going? Where do you go when you live in Atlanta? You live right in the city or in the area?
I live a little south of the city in Riverdale.
Okay, that's a beautiful city. I don't know about Riverdale. I've never been there, but I have been to Atlanta, and it's a lovely city.
Oh, yes, I love
okay.
it.
Okay, now where would you be going on vacation?
Well, actually, I'm going home. I'm from Michigan. I'm going home to visit my parents.
Oh, really? Whereabouts in Michigan?
Battle Creek.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, we get calls from Battle Creek. WBZ, I don't know if you know this or not, the station you broadcast on here in Boston, covers 38 states, something like that. We're a clear channel at night.
Oh, okay.
So we're one of these, see, your illness is being known, you know, on a clear channel station that's a powerhouse. And I get calls from Battle Creek and a lot of other parts of Michigan as well. I don't know why I'm telling you this.
Well, I'll listen while I'm home.
I think you could probably pick us up. We're at 10:30 on the AM dial, and okay. we get a lot of listeners in Michigan in general. Your folks are there now? Is that who you're going to see?
Yeah, I was going to visit my parents.
Oh, what a nice name. Must they say, my daughter, Patty, she's, you know, Daddy, she's down in Atlanta. She's with CNN. She's on a network. She's all over the place. We're so proud of her. And she has a bad cold, but she's coming home, and her sinuses will drain better in Battle Creek, Michigan.
The little mother love and chicken soup.
That's right. That'll take care of everything. When is your last night, then, before you go back to Michigan?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, so do we get to hear you tomorrow, too, here on WBZ?
Tomorrow, too, yeah.
Okay, could we call you then to find out how you're doing tomorrow?
Well, sure.
You're a lovely person, Pat. I appreciate talking with you, and the very best to you.
Well, thank you so much.
Take care. Feel better, little person.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye, Pat.
Bye-bye.
She sounds so cute. That's awful to say that about a news person. She sounds so cute. What do you mean, cute? I'm a news person. I'm a grunge. I get down and I dig up news, and that's tough, and that's not cute. It's not cute to dig up news. Anyway, we'll talk with her tomorrow, see how she's doing.
Suddenly feel as though I have a hat on my hand, only I don't have a particular hat. And another time, I've lost a few pounds, you see, and so I'm tucking up my belt, you know, to the notch. And I find the first one, the one that I set to hold up the trousers, is too tight. And so I loosen it to the next notch, and the trousers start to slide off.
Oh, don't cry. Don't cry, Chauncey.
Why couldn't they put another notch in between those notches?
I know that. Because they're totally inconsiderate.
And another,
baboons, that's why.
And another interesting thing happens. I go out. And start the day in the morning, start to go out, and, oh, aghast, I find a black shoe and a brown shoe.
Oh, you can't find two shoes the same color.
And I've had the same thing happen on the stockings, you know, the wrong color. And they don't match.
Oh, geez, you sound like you're in terrible shape, Chauncey. I don't know what to do about you. Maybe we could send the a WBZ person around, you know, I don't know who he sent around.
Another thing I find when I leave the house, I'm in a hurry, you see, to catch a cab. And I have one of those doors on the side of the house where you have a lock inside and the door and outside. Well, automatically, the outside is already locked, so you can just close that. But you want to make sure that it's locked on the inside. So you turn the inside and lock that up, and you're in a hurry to catch the cab. You walk out, and you've left the keys inside.
Oh, God, that's awful, Chauncey. Oh, what a frightful thing.
And all of these things, and they happen. It's really strange. And here's another that's very interesting. Why is there some significance, should I say, of if you have a paroxysmal attack of sneezing? And why? What's the significance of the fact that I have to sneeze 5 times or 7 times?
I mean, it's always that
it's
amount.
It's always that, yeah.
Either 5 or 7, right. Always those numbers.
Yeah, I have one of those attacks. Yeah. You see, why? How do you explain that?
I'll have to look that up. I don't know offhand. No, I don't know.
I sound as though I'm a little half-bombed, I'm sure.
Are you? Have you been drinking, Chauncey?
No, I wish I did.
Are you not allowed to drink?
No, I'm not, unfortunately. Oh, that's... I enjoy scotch. I used to enjoy it very much.
But you can't drink it all anymore?
Oh, no, not at all, now.
Oh, okay.
At all.
What is it? What is it you are drinking? And you sound like you are half-bombed. And I like you this way. That's okay. I'm not knocking it.
Well, you see, as I said, I'm not clever as thee.
No, you're just...
So I have to think of something to say that sounds a little bit different than someone else's says.
Well, I appreciate that. You're doing a little... You're doing shtick.
So I'm doing a little... No, this is shtick, but it's true. Every one of those things. You see, I'm just relating to you what's happened when the innings are late, you see.
Okay. You know, Sam, I like you, Chauncey.
Oh, aren't you?
I wish we had met before the war.
Aren't you kind?
And maybe we'll meet after the war in that little cafe in Antwerp, Belgium, and get to be really close.
Oh, I have the place that certainly I would love to meet you.
Where's that?
And entertain you, I certainly would. At my favorite pub and restaurant.
Which one is that?
Well, that's the Korab. The Korab.
Now, where's that?
That's out there in the... LaGrange Street and Center Street and West Roxbury.
Oh, I don't know that place. Oh. I don't know West Roxbury too well, but I'll just try to find them, perhaps.
Oh, they have, it's a very nice, it's the only nice place right here, you see.
Why, we'll have to get together there right after the war.
Oh.
As soon as a truce is declared and the enemy is defeated, we'll sit and drink to it. But you'll have to drink prune juice or something.
No, I might even take a chance with you, you see.
I'll drive you home.
I'll have maybe a tall, thin beer. Okay. Like one, you know, one of those light fellows.
Okay.
I'd like that, I think. Aren't you so nice to
him? Yeah, you're a nice judge. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for calling. My best to you and your wife, and I appreciate hearing from you.
Yes, you're getting better, and I'll say ta-ta now.
Okay, ta-ta to you, Chauncey.
Listen to WBZ Sports Saturday. It's sports information that's up to the second, and it's entertaining. It's not a talk show. It's a brand new sports information program with sports shorts every 10 minutes, all afternoon, and interviews with the game's biggest names. WBZ Sports Saturday, beginning Labor Day weekend on the home of the Patriots and the future home of the Boston Bruins.
I think that's a seal. And so when you see Andre, it's not a seal, it's a sea lion. Let me point out a couple of things here that tell you the difference between the two. Okay, a lot of I do this in my own class at school. I teach. Sea lions have external ear flaps. Seals have small holes for ears. Sea lions can use their large front flippers to run or climb on land. Seals are less agile out of the water. Are you stifling a yawn and your eyelids again beginning to droop? You don't care to learn stuff, do you? You have no curiosity. Anyway, that's the whole thing with that. I think we'll drop that whole story, but that's the movie Andre. When you watch it, it's not a seal. It's a sea lion. They don't have sea lions on the East Coast, which is where Andre frolicked a lot. There, it's a West Coast kind of thing. So it's a total fraud, and it sickens me, and I'm just unhappy that they're doing that because I happen to be a purist. Thank you. Have you noticed all the stamps that are coming out at the U.S. Post Office? They seem to be in a mood for doing all kinds of lovely, different kinds of stamps, honoring all kinds of people and situations. I'm kind of glad about that, because you get sick of the same stamps, pasting the same stamps on envelopes, getting the same stamps from people. You kind of like to look for something new. They have a series now that features Ethel Merman, Al Jolson, Bing Crosby, Ethel Waters. They have some featuring horses. They've had some featuring the silent movie actors, which would have been kind of fun. They had a series with Edward R. Murrow on the stamp. And now they've got one coming out with Nat Cole. But apparently they weren't quite sure of his date, the date of his birth. The U.S. Postal Service issued a new 29-cent stamp in honor of the late musician. But his widow says... It's a Maria Cole who lives in Sturbridge, somewhere in the western part of the state. Now, she says the date of birth inscribed along the margin is off by 2 years. Maria Cole pointed out the error when the stamp was unveiled at a ceremony at her home. I guess she's living in Boston now. It was unveiled at her home in Boston yesterday, Thursday. She said her husband's birth date was incorrectly reported during his life, and the error stuck. He was born March 17, 1919, she says. Reference books set the date at 1917, so he's a couple of years younger than that. But anyway, that'd be an interesting stamp. It's kind of nice to get letters with the different stamps on them. Am I getting really boring? I can't stand to hear myself talk.
IDS Financial Services here, talking with folks about their financial goals. Excuse me.
Yes?
How do you think your tax bill will be this year?
Well, I don't know yet. But as always, I'll end up paying too much.
A little too much or a lot too much?
Believe me, plenty. I bring it in and the government takes it out.
So, have you tried to lower your taxes?
I could try all I like, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Actually, if you're like most people, there's a lot you can do about it.
Like what?
With an IDS financial planner, you can develop a strategy that could save you taxes all year long, not just on April 15th.
And then?
And then on April 15th, you take advantage of everything you're entitled to.
But I'm no accountant.
Oh, you don't have to be. All you need is the help of an IDS personal financial planner.
So with one of them, I could probably pay less in taxes?
Plan on it. With IDS Financial Services, an American Express company.
Call your local IDS office today at 1-800-370-8181 and schedule a free introductory consultation. That's 1-800-370-8181.
The WBZ time is 5 minutes before 5 o'clock. Complete news coming up at 5, and nobody covers news better than WBZ News Radio 1030. I'm just so proud to be part of a station that has that kind of a news-gathering organization, and headed this morning by Gary LaPierre, who'll be with you in about 5 minutes to update things that are going on, and Tom Cuddy will be reporting the sports. And there'll be weather, and Deb Lawler, ace broadcaster, will be doing the news also, plus the whole WBZ team. Thank you very much. And, of course, you'll hear it, since it is called the WBZ News, you'll hear it on WBZ. Thank you just so much. People apparently still play Scrabble. I didn't realize the game is apparently very popular. A college math instructor captured the 1994 National Scrabble Championship yesterday at Universal City, California. And with it, he won the first prize of $15,000 with words like, hand me that envelope, please, with the words in it, if you would. Well, I'm turning you on, aren't I, just by the crinkling of paper. Words like scooter, voe, V-O-E is a word. I don't know what that means, but it is a word. And a jar. His name is David Gibson from Spartansburg, South Carolina, one of 300 Scrabble enthusiasts. Apparently, they came from all over the country, went out to Universal City, California, to enter these Scrabble contests. And he was one of the enthusiasts competing in the tournament that highlighted what you might call a distinct subculture and one of America's best-loved games still going on after all these years, Scrabble. Okay. That's it. Thank you very much. I'm Paul Harvey.
Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? This is your heating system, and you think you had a tough winter. I feel about 1,000 years old. An all-time record for snow, and I drag myself through the whole thing. Nights, weekends, holidays. I'm too old for this. I'm wheezing. I got chills in my burner. You don't want to know. Look, I can't listen to that thermostat one more day. On, off, for 25 years. I can't take it anymore.
After this winter, your heating system may be asking for retirement, which is why you should switch to a natural gas heating system. It's the most efficient kind you can buy, with very low maintenance. Since natural gas is piped right to your home, the supply is very reliable, too. And unlike other fossil fuels, natural gas is much cleaner for the environment. Boston Gas. For these times, it's a natural.
Look, I tell you, enough is enough already, okay?
Okay, let's talk with John up in New Hampshire. Good morning, John.
Hi, Norm, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay, thanks.
I just came home and I happened to think of you. I grew up in Boston, and I used to work in the Boston Post when I first started.
Oh, really? What did you do?
Well, I used to work in advertising.
No kidding, the old Boston Post.
Yep, and I was just a kid then, 1952, but I used to hear your show at night. And I used to go to nurse down to Beverly Hospital. I used to be flying to be into the paper on time, and I used to always hear your show getting back late at night. It's the Music at Midnight, right?
Well, we did have a show called that, but mine was called, oh, God, what was it called?
I thought it was Music at
Sounds of the Night. It was called Sounds of the
Night.
Isn't
right,
that awful?
Right.
I did that for 11 years, and I couldn't think of the title of that. It was an all-night jazz show. That's right.
You used to always hear Old Sport. You used to always say that.
That's I used to say Old Sport. I still say Old Sport. I haven't changed a bit. Well, what kind of a job do you have now?
Oh, I do advertising now. That's what I've been all my life, and just mostly.
Oh, so you're doing that, and you stay awake all night doing that?
Well, I just came home late tonight. I just had to go up to a town in Vermont, and I get back real late. I have a niece up there, so I.
Oh, I see.
Get back. So I just happened to hear your show, and I just took a shot and called and got
okay.
you. But well, really, a nice fellow I knew from Boston was a really a nice guy. He used to speak very highly of you. I guess he knew you from Chelsea. His name was Don Hennessy. Does that ring a bell?
Don Hennessy.
Donald Hennessy from Chelsea.
Yeah, well, that's very nice to hear about him again after all these years.
Yeah, that's the same, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's lovely. Now, I appreciate hearing from you. Who do you work for now? Do you still work for a newspaper?
Oh, I have my own agency.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it's called.
What's it called?
Sullivan Agency.
And you're up in New Hampshire with it?
Yes, yeah, right.
Out of what town?
Well, it's a small town over in Jeffrey, if you know Jeffrey.
Oh, I know Jeffrey, sure. Yeah. Sure, in the Monadnock Mountains up there.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right,
no,
yeah.
That's lovely territory up through there. I'm glad to hear from you, John. I thank you very much for the call, and good luck to you.
Okay, well, take care now.
You too. Bye-bye. Right. Time for us to say goodbye, too. So on behalf of our entire cast, I'm sorry I can't remember all the names of the people who helped make this program possible, so if I leave your name out, forgive me. But I do want to mention Mike Epstein, who is an integral part of this whole thing. God love him, God bless him, and God wish him well. I tell you, he was zowie. Anyway, he's our producer, and on behalf of him and on behalf of the lovely Marilyn Gorelick, like, and myself, the almost good-looking Norm Nathan person, we'll see you tonight at midnight. Yeah, midnight tonight. Hope you have a great day. Bye-bye, old sport.
If it's happening now, you're hearing it now on WBZ, your only choice for breaking news 24 hours a day. News Radio 1030, WBZ Boston.
That was like a whole weekend of Norm wrapped up in 98 minutes in 26 seconds. Let's get right to the credits. Closing the vault and riding the radio waves home. For End of the World Minister, Harold Camping. David Brudnoy, Tom and Ray Magliozzi, Dick Summer, Arnie Ginsberg, the 8th Air Force, radio broadcasts from department store windows, Lefty Sprocket, Gene Shepard, Work Crews, Richard Strauss, Till Eulenspiegel, Ravel, Ukulele Serenades in a Canoe, The Comedy Connection, Dawson Beer, the WHDH Gypsy Fortune Telling Wagon and or Ice Cream Truck, Sounds in the Night, The Swell Music Quiz, Angelica's in Middleton, Mass, Harbor Lights, Post Nasal Drip, The Corrib Pub, Marilyn Gorelick, Adam Wolf, Brian McKinley, Mike Epstein, Jack Hart, Rick Cassiotis, Daryl Gould, Ed Mullen, Tom Cuddy, Nymphs Everywhere, and your favorite preacher from the Church of the Living Talk host, Norm Nathan. I'm Tony Nesbitt.